That very day, the first day of the week, two of Jesus' disciples were going to a village 7 miles from Jerusalem called Emmaus. And they were conversing about all the things that had occurred. And it happened that while they were conversing and debating, Jesus himself drew near and walked with them. But their eyes were prevented from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing as you walk along?" They stopped, looking downcast. One of them, named Clopas, said to him in reply, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know of the things that have taken place there these days?" And he replied to them, "What sort of things?" They said to him, "The things that happened to Jesus the Nazarene, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all people, how our chief priests and rulers both handed him over to a sentence of death and crucified him. But we were hoping that he would be the one to redeem Israel. And besides all this, it is now the third day since this took place. Some women from our group, however, have astounded us. They were at the tomb early in the morning and did not find his body. They came back and reported that they had indeed seen a vision of angels who announced that he was alive. Then some of those with us went to the tomb and found things just as the women had described, but him they did not see. And Jesus said to them, 'Oh, how foolish you are, how slow of heart to believe all the prophets spoke. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer things and enter into his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them what referred to him in all the scriptures.' As they approached the village to which they were going, he gave the impression that he was going on further. But they urged him, 'Stay with us, for it is nearly evening, and the day is almost over.' So he went in and stayed with them. And it happened that, while he was with them at table, he took bread, said the blessing, broke it, and gave it to them. With that, their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. But he vanished from their sight. Then they said to each other, 'Were not our hearts burning within us while he spoke to us on the way and opened the scriptures to us?' So they set out at once and returned to Jerusalem, where they found gathered together the 11 of those with whom were saying, 'The Lord has truly been raised, and he has appeared to Simon.' Then the two recounted what had taken place on the way and how he was made known to them in the breaking of the bread." Good morning. Peace be with you. Thank you. Quite often we hear Catholics and Christians challenge us to have a personal relationship with Jesus. Many are very confident and courageous in asking that question of those that they meet. Do you have a personal relationship with Jesus? And ultimately, we can understand this question, that God wants a personal relationship with us because he took on flesh. He became like us so that we can encounter and know that he understands the human condition. Not only its fallen condition of sin, but also its necessary condition to be loved, to experience love in those essential ways through our senses. The reality that makes us feel alive and important. To have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ was essential to the incarnation. It was exactly what the apostles and the disciples and the 5,000s that would gather as he would feed them came to know. They would say, yes, I know this Jesus. I heard him speak. He touched my heart. I walked with him. I was healed with him. This was a relationship that was so profoundly important to the 12 and to those who followed Jesus, that he was like them, that he understood them, and that they were loved by him. But when we move into the Easter season, there's something far greater and more profound that God wants from us. He doesn't want from us just a simple personal relationship. Because, see, he did take on flesh to become like us, but in order that we may become like him. That we may come to realize that our human nature is fallen, yes, and it's broken, yes, and needs redeemed, yes. But there is a deeper place. He wants us to encounter him. What Jesus, the Christ, wants from us is an intimate relationship. And all the resurrection stories show this. From Easter Sunday morning, we hear and see as Jesus appears to those who loved him, had a personal relationship with him first, did not even recognize him. Because he didn't want to simply be recognized in the flesh. And when they came to realize who he was, they wanted again that same relationship, and they would reach out to him, and Jesus would say, "Do not cling to me. Do not hold me here. I have not yet ascended to my Father." What did Peter say in the Acts of the Apostles? He makes it very clear. The man, Jesus, kept saying, "The man, Jesus." Because he knew that those who were listening would understand Jesus as the man. The man, Jesus, that you had a relationship with or have rejected. The man, Jesus, who you put to death, has risen. And Peter doesn't mince words either. He doesn't just say he rose from the dead because we saw him, we witnessed it. He rose and now has taken his proper place at the right hand of the Father. So what are you going to do with that? Last week, we see how difficult it is when we desire a personal relationship, that we put everything that we are as a person into relationships with each other in this world, and they end through death. Great confusion takes place. Great loss is experienced. But God doesn't want that. He doesn't want that separation. He wants more. So what happens to Thomas when he is not with the community? He doubts that this man has risen. And what does he want? He wants only one thing, right, Thomas? He wants to touch him again. Because that's what will make Jesus real. Unless I can put my finger in his nail marks and my fist in his side, I will not believe. And what does Jesus permit Thomas to do? I think Caravaggio's painting of the doubting Thomas gives us the perfect image. If you don't remember the image, go look it up on the computer today. Thomas is taking his finger and he is probing through the open wound on Christ's side. Not to touch his flesh, but to reach into his divinity, beyond the human flesh, into what Jesus has become in the resurrection. And it is there in that intimacy that he makes the statement, "My Lord and my God." Here today, another example of what Jesus really wants from his disciples. Disappointed that this man, Jesus, was not going to fix the world. And they head away from Jerusalem. If you didn't notice, They're going the wrong direction. And Jesus comes and walks with them. Now, if he wanted just a personal relationship with them, they would have recognized him immediately. And their sorrow would have been gone, and their loss would have been found. But that's not what he wanted them to have. He wanted them to have more. And he explains and opens the scriptures to them. And all those passages that spoke of him and what they mean. And when do they see him? But in the breaking of the bread. Because Jesus wants more than a flesh on flesh relationship. He wants our flesh to come to his divinity. And as soon as they recognized him, he was gone. And we're not our hearts. We're not our interior life, our souls burning within us. Jesus wants that for us. Intimacy. He wants it deeper than a sense or an experience of him. He wants us to be transformed by him in his resurrection. And where in the world will we get that? Right here. That's what the sacred mass is. Look at the journey of Emmaus. First, he opens the scriptures to us. Then he reveals himself in the breaking of the bread. And what do? As soon as they eat of the bread, they go out. And they return to the mission that is deeper than flesh. A mission of the resurrection, the mission of eternal life. That's what we have here. Now, the big box churches who claim that we need a personal relationship with God use this religion so that they can have an emotional experience and a physical experience of God. The music was great. The pastor was awesome. The balloon release was incredible. But we don't do that here. We check our humanity at the door. We turn ourselves inside out so we can encounter what we are becoming, not what we were. The kingdom that he has prepared for us, not the one in essence, that we're living in. Because there is true life in Christ. So what should be our mission this week? First and foremost, I think, is to take responsibility, learn how to respond to the ability of your soul's need for eternal life. Secondly, don't be so afraid or upset when you don't feel Jesus, when you don't feel close to God. But ask for your heart to burn so that your soul catches on fire, so that you know the resurrection is our life, our hope, our profession, our ultimate destination. And I promise to do the same. See, when you give me a week off, I make up for it. Let us stay.